Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting me this week is William Matrix Mouth Miller.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
I'm doing pretty good. We've also got Justin Ficarot of Kill Monty fame.
How's it going?
It's going good. Guys, we are on our 50th total show this week. Are you excited?
I can't believe it.
Oh, man.
50 shows.
How the f*** do we last this long?
Do we get senior citizen discount at McDonald's? Because if we don't, it's a jip.
For those of you confused, we used to do the Inside Matt Games podcast, and we did 33 shows, I think. And then we did this show, and combined total is now 50 shows. So we've done it. We've reached, I don't know, some sort of sad milestone.
The golden age. The golden age of podcasting.
Speaking of 50, Blake Buck, we're in the podcast alley top 50, number 49.
Oh, that's right. We are actually 49th on podcast alley this week, guys. So,
Justin Fick, if you could remind our dear listeners as to the promise Blake Buck made in days of old regarding such an event.
I remember it was back in July was our promotion wherein if we got a top 100 overall on Podcast Alley, Blake Buck owes the world a video diary of Marathon.
Nah, I don't know about that.
Stay with me. Top 50 overall on Podcast Alley is a video diary of Marathon and Marathon 2.
But I don't like that game.
Too bad.
Top 25. Overall is Blake Buck video diary of Marathon, Marathon 2, and Marathon Infinity. Top 10 overall on Podcast Alley, meaning the top 10 podcasts in the world. Blake Buck owes us a video diary of him playing Marathon, Marathon 2, and Marathon Infinity, butt naked.
Butt naked. Oh boy. Well, that's what we're going for, guys. So look, if we keep these numbers up, if we can break into the top 10, guys, which, by the way, if even just half of you guys voted, we'd be in the top 10. It's not that hard, baby. Come on, we can do it. So for those of you who don't know, Podcast Alley is a podcast voting site. You can go to Podcast Alley, search Best Damn Podcast Ever, and we'll come up. You click the vote. Now you got to put in your email and all that jazz. They send you an email. You click the link in the email, and then you vote for us. So you can also find the link on our site. It'll be right in the show notes of this show. So get voting. In fact, if you hadn't voted right now, I want you to pause the show and go vote and then unpause us and come back. All right. Now I'm going to wait for you right here. Go.
Tom can insert some voting music.
And you better just have voted. All right, and this is your gaming news for Monday, March 25th, 2007. All right, I'm going to do a more complete run-through. Since it's gotten kind of short, I'm going to kind of give the whole show a run-through.
All right, go.
All right, so on this week's show, we've got Take-Two considering sale of company. New Line grabs Gears movie rights. $479 black 120-gigabyte 360 coming next month. We've also got a ton of releases this week, even some good ones. We've got God of War 2 Preview Judgment, Azuna Legend of the Unemployed Ninja Judgment, some janks by myself, Justin Fick, Ben Bug, Double B, and even a user-submitted jank. We've got a reflection on our 50 shows, as well as a gaming journalism battle royale, contest, your voicemails and feedback, a stump, and a stump. All this and more. Stop laughing. All this and more on this week's Best Damn Podcast Ever. What we got, baby?
All right. Well, first in the news here, we have Take-Two Interactive considering the sale of its company. Major publisher and developer Take-Two of Grand Theft Auto fame has announced that it is considering the sale of the company following a fierce shareholder battle, which threatens to depose major executives of the board. Now, fierce shareholder battle, I imagine like boxing ring with Uwe Boll in there knocking dudes out. So a group of prominent Take-Two investors owning 46% of the company's shares, with the likes of Oppenheimer Funds, D.E. Shaw, Valence Portfolios, and a couple others, are trying to remove the CEO, Paul Ebler, and bring about changes that will changes within the company's board of directors. So what do you think about this go?
Dude, I'm looking at these companies, Oppenheimer Funds, D.E. Shaw, Valence Portfolios, SAC Capital Management, Two Door Investment. These guys sound like...
Yeah, it sounds like... I don't know.
The person that I want giving me money to make a game is like John Romero, not Oppenheimer Funds.
They don't understand that all those Ferraris that people buy in the gaming industry, that's good. That's good. We need those. See, what happened was Take-Two's profits, I think, took a hit when they posted their 2006 fiscal review or whatever. And a bunch of them dudes got scared. So they're trying to like shake things up at the head of the company. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Dude, you know what it is. Jack Thompson has won.
Dude, he did it.
Fatality.
Fatality.
You see articles like this all the time on the internet where they're talking about numbers change in hand. What does this mean to gamers, William Miller? Go.
Well, Take-Two has a lot of control over the IPs that we have come to know and love. Now, those IPs aren't going to go away, obviously. So even if Take-Two goes away, the IPs are going to change hands. Somebody else is going to be making the games. Probably even the original developers of those games are going to be making those games. So I don't think this is a big deal. You know, probably Take-Two won't go away. I don't know. It's just they took a big, you know, I think they lost like $184.9 million this fiscal year. But, you know, things like that happen. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, between Hot Coffee and Bully didn't really sell all that great. They're in a bit of a slump. So, but this to me sounds like a job for Gamecock. Gamecock needs to step in.
Gobble them rights.
Grand Theft San Andreas. Now, speaking of rights and speaking of movie rights, New Line Cinema has grabbed the movie rights to Gears of War.
Gears.
So. So it was honestly, it was really only a matter of time before Epic Games' Xbox 360 hit Gears of War began its walk down the road to becoming a movie. So New Line Cinema has acquired the rights to Gears of War, and the producers of the film will be Marty Bowen and Wick Godfrey. I don't know who those people are, and it's getting the screenplay treatment by Stuart Beatty, who did Pirates of the Caribbean and Collateral.
Thumbs down.
There are, dude, Pirates of the Caribbean 2 is awesome. I don't know what the f*** you're smoking, Blake Buck.
Dude, thumbs down to all those movies. Collateral, Pirates of the Caribbean, thumbs down. I'm making a pouty face right now.
So no other details have been released. So no details including a crew, cast, or release date.
Well, look, I think this is a surefire win if they get terrible Terry Tate to play the Coltrane. Because he's the only person that's got guns and a neck big enough to play.
Yeah, because that character was designed to be that man, and that man was designed to be that character.
I mean, they're gonna have a lot of trouble filling the other. They're gonna have to computer enhance the guns and not the actual weapons, but I'm talking like the muscles, the guns.
Yeah, CG chop.
Yeah, chop. CG chop. CG neck.
No, we can't talk about Gears of War. It's not funny now.
My question, though, is are they going to be able to cast Cliffy B as Marcus Fenix? Because, you know, he's going to try to muscle his way into that role.
Dude, he's too beautiful. He can only play magicians and wizards.
Oh, he will. They'll tell him to work out, though, the first day, and he's going to cry and go emo in the corner. And then he'll quit.
He's going to talk about his craft some.
Oh, yeah.
So, but actually, I got to thinking because, like I hear news of this, and I just think of games like, or you know, game to be movies like Metal Gear Solid. I think of Prince of Persia. I think of the World of Warcraft movie coming out, and of course the ill-fated Halo movie, which I haven't heard a damn thing about since we heard that Tuncha Dennis was directing it.
Hmm.
But but I got some movie ideas. I think that they should make a movie about we take Cliffy B, we take John Romero, we take David Jaffe, Peter Molyneux, and just put them all into like an octagon and make a movie about it. Last one to survive wins. Oh, and Uwe Boll.
Ego battler.
Yeah.
We can make a reality TV show out of that. Like, we get all those game developers together and live in a house. We call it Game House.
Game House? And dude, like, they would take on the different roles, you know, like, Molyneux would be, like, the one who's trying to clean up, but he's very controlling. Guys, you left game developer sauce all over the floor.
Ja Romero be sleeping all over everybody.
What would Cliffy B do? Who would he be?
No, he'd be the whiny one that all the girls like because he's so whiny and depressed all the time.
Dude, Cliffy B would be the one that comes out halfway through the season. And then of course there's going to be an episode in which John Carmack sneaks into John Romero's room at night and cuts off his hair.
And then the next episode, the reverse happens. Romero forcibly bathes John Carmack.
No, dude. And then all the girls get by Itagaki.
Yeah, that's the thing. Itagaki needs to share a room with Brenda Brathwaite.
He wasn't even invited, but he showed up anyway so he could have sex with all the women.
And he did all he knows how to do.
Dude, this movie needs to happen so badly.
This treatment copyright 2007 best damn podcast ever. You're gonna have to pay us for the rights now, dude. I'm gonna make that a video. You watch. You wait and see.
Speaking of, I hear there's a new Xbox coming out.
That's right. The rumor is that a $479 black Xbox 360 with a 120 gigabyte hard drive is coming out next month. So earlier today, Kotaku, Lord of Gaming Journalism, posted a couple of scans from Game Informer this month that has an article about the new Xbox 360, which is supposedly going to be black in color. It's going to have a 120 gigabyte hard drive, an HDMI video outport, and it's going to include the cable as well. Oh, it is not going to have the HD DVD. A lot of people were speculating that this is going to have HD DVD playback, but you're still going to have to buy that, you know, $200 jank to sit beside your Xbox if you want to play HD DVDs. So, yeah, it looks like they're trying to rev up the 360 this April, but it's not an official. GameSpot contacted somebody at Microsoft, and they're like, maybe, probably, but we're not going to tell you anything else. Oh, it will be released in late April. So yeah, it sounds like we're going to get a new Xbox 360, and my Xbox now sucks.
So you're going to have to go get the new one because it's black.
I'm going to have to buy a new one. I'm going to throw this one in the trash and go get the new one.
Dude, dev kit's been black for ages, and they suck. But it's about time on the hard drive, though, because it actually gives some use now to downloading the TV shows and movies off of Live Marketplace.
Yeah, you know, they were at X06, they were prepping their IPTV stuff real big, and we're talking, well, you know, there may be a bigger Xbox down Roma. We don't know, but it may happen. So now it looks like that's coming to fruition. That was PR maneuvering. These crying companies should hire me.
Now it also says that this is coming with a black controller.
Ooh.
Ooh, I like that. Dude, I better find somebody. So if you want Blake Buck's old jank Xbox, feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com. I will sign it on top. It's only $479. So yeah, what I want to know is, are they going to offer some sort of like a way to transfer the stuff from your hard drive from the old hard drive to the new hard drive? Because that's what I want, you know. But am I just stuck with my 20 gig, or will I be able to upgrade somehow to the 120 when it comes out? Not really sure. A lot of questions, not a lot of answers.
My theory is they're going to make you buy jank cable.
Yeah, $200 jank cable.
No, it's going to be like, you remember the old Dreamcast had those visual memory units and you plugged them together and you could like transfer saves, you know, but you could also make them fight. That's what I'm going to make my 360 hard drive do.
Battle.
Unlike that 10 pixel screen they had on those things.
Dude, there were at least 48 pixels on that screen. You better get it right, all right? Dreamcast is Lord. All right, it's time for releases, son.
All right. right. This week in releases, we got Justin Fick's favorite game, Stalker, Shadow of Chernobyl for PC.
Dude, I don't give a shit.
Sci-fi team-based action game built on the company's X-Ray engine. We've also got Silverfall for the PC. Set in a fantasy realm, the action role-playing game features expansive worlds rife with monsters. Virtual Tennis 3 for Xbox 360, PS3, and PSP. Virtual Tennis returns for its third incarnation, featuring improved AI, highly detailed characters, and various modes such as career, minigame, and more.
Now, Silverfall doesn't have anything to do with Dreamfall, does it? I don't think it does, even though it kind of sounds the same to me.
Dude, I love how you can instantly tell a fantasy role-playing game just by its title.
Silverfall. Okay. That's what my dagger's made out of. I'm ready to cut now.
Cut?
Speaking of cut, we have Castlevania Symphony of the Night coming out tomorrow on Xbox. Or actually, by the time this podcast comes out, it'll already have come out, and I'll have beaten it several times over and gotten all 200 achievements.
Now, Justin Fick, hold on a second. Before I go and buy this game tomorrow, do you have any secret codes that I could use to get this game? Because last time I bought a game on Xbox 360, you had secret codes that you didn't give me until it was too late.
Now, this time I know of no secret codes. But if I hear a secret codes this time, I'm claiming three codes. I'm claiming three codes for journalistic integrity, BDPE action. So Bruce Morrison, I'm looking at you, sir. That's the code, man.
Dude, I got a good run. You know, you can buy them in $25 increments. For $25, I got Alien Hominid. I'm going to be getting Xbox. I'm going to be getting Castlevania Symphony of the Night and Ninja Turtles. Okay.
Nice.
That's a lot of fun for $25.
That's a good $25 combination action pack.
All right, what else we got, Just Fick?
We also have Test Drive Unlimited for PC and PS2. Test Drive Unlimited is a street racing game that lets you drive licensed cars and motorcycles on 1,000 miles of Hawaiian roads and highways. Also, we have Armored Core 4 for Xbox 360 and PS3. The fourth game in the Armored Core series rockets onto both the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360.
All right, next we've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the Xbox 360, PS2, PSP, PC, Wii, GameCube, DS, Game Boy Advance, the holy octagon of gaming. This is coming out on March 20th, 2007. Ubisoft's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is based on the 2007 CGI movie and features action platforming with some teamwork-based gameplay elements. That almost sounded like 2D Satan elements. So, is this game gonna suck? Because ever since the first 1989 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle arcade game, every Ninja Turtle game has sucked. Will this change the mold?
I don't know, man. Like, I have high hopes for the movie. Kind of, actually. I'm going to see it anyway. But I'm actually kind of having reservations now because I did see a commercial that advertised it as this year's first great family film.
Uh-oh.
And the line wasn't followed by someone getting their head smashed in.
Uh-oh.
Apparently in the original Ninja Turtles comic, like, you know, the girl April, like, she gets, like, and stuff. It was originally, like, a lot more violent.
Oh, she gets f***ed up. Dude, they all get f***ed up in the comics.
Look, William Miller, he watched Ninja Turtles 1, Ninja Turtles 2, and Ninja Turtles 3 all in one month.
I think that's an achievement point there, sir.
That is an achievement point.
Achievement unlocked.
We've also got the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion for PlayStation 3. So this is the fourth. This is coming out on the 20th. This is the fourth chapter in the Elder Scrolls series. It takes the game to new levels with gameplay and graphic enhancement that features over 200 hours of gameplay time. The PS3 version includes an additional race, the Knights of the Nine.
And if you guys don't remember, you're actually getting two copies of Elder Scrolls Oblivion for the PS3 because Blu-ray is real slow. So they had to put two copies of the game on one disc so that it'd read right. So you're getting two Oblivions for the price of one.
Yeah, didn't the guys at Bethesda, the guys who make Oblivion, didn't they say, like, yeah, the PS3 sucks and we don't like developing for it? I don't remember. I think I said that a few weeks ago. All right. Well, is that all the releases we got?
It's time for judgment.
All right, guys. This week in judgment, I don't really have a real judgment for you. I got a little mini judgment for you. Ben Buck Double B is way into God of War. So when I went home for spring break last week, and I got to see and play a little bit of God of War 2. So those of you who don't know, this is the sequel to David Jaffe's masterpiece of God of War, which is, you know, I guess you'd call it an action platformer. You go around, you cut. That's the main gameplay dynamic you utilize. You're like Kratos. You know, who is Kratos? I don't know. He's a bad dude. He's a bad enough dude to save any president. And you go around, you're fighting demons, you're fighting monsters. It's set in Greece, and it was a lot of fun. Now they've made the sequel, and it looks just as good. More demons, more monsters. You're flying on a Pegasus, cutting stuff with flames. It looks good. So from what I saw, thumbs up if you like the original. But one thing I do have to say is a negative. The project lead on this game, his name is like, I don't remember. He's on, if you watch like the Making of DVD, he's on it a lot. He's this fat troll, and he's dumb. Like people are talking about, like, you know, like, well, the animation needs to be fixed. And he's like, yeah. I guess we'll do it like this. Oh, God.
Dude. David Jaffe would have break this dude up the ass. Like, no. Draw it again, you f***ing prick. Kiss my ass. My salad. Do everything over. Wash my feet.
So yeah, if this game does succeed, it is by no benefit of this man, the project leader on this game.
Now, what I would like to add to this judgment really quick is that Freeverse Software, Mr. Mark Levin, went and picked up this game over the weekend because I mentioned on Friday that, oh, by the way, God of War 2 is out, came out on Tuesday. So Mark Levin was like, oh, you know what? I guess I'm gonna pick it up. And Monday came in. And Mark Levin's like, dude, I picked up God of War 2, and I had to play through it straight until I beat it.
That sounds like a good one. Thumbs up.
So thumbs up from Mark Levin. Now, I actually also have a judgment this week. This is called Izuna: Legend of the Unemployed Ninja. Now, this is a this also uses cut.
That's a popular one this week.
This is for your Nintendo DS, and unless you heard this early, you probably missed it. Izuna is a roguelike game. So this is a it's tile based, really old school style role playing game. For those not familiar with roguelikes, they were really old school, like ASCII art games way back in the day before they had graphics. So a dragon was a big letter D.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And people would sit and play these for hours. So we have not really seen any good roguelikes. I mean, Diablo and Diablo 2 could be real-time roguelikes, but this is the first, you know, one that's pretty true to the formula. So randomized dungeons, randomized monsters, randomized codes, and there are a lot of codes. In fact, there are so many codes that you will run out of pack space for your codes very quickly.
That's the enemy of codes, is pack space.
Yeah. So if you were ever into roguelikes in the past or just want a good, you know, just good replayable role-playing game, then definitely pick this up. The main game itself, the main story, is pretty short and it's kind of easy. Back in the day in roguelikes, you had permadeath. So you died once, you had to start over. This one, it does kick your ass around a little bit. Like, you lose all your items and all your money, so you lose your codes. But you keep your character level, so you can keep jumping into a dungeon and just kicking ass until you get through it. So you will eventually get through the quick story, but after that, it unlocks a dungeon that's 100 levels worth of codes, and you have to do it all in one life. So it's very much like the old school roguelike. So it's a cool throwback. So thumbs up on Izuna.
Dude, Blake Bug doesn't have time for those games. That's too hard.
Dude, there's always time for it. It's a very quick one. Like you can do one level and then save. So what that means is like the 100 level dungeon is a good good shooter game. You can play it on the shooter.
Ah yes, shooter games. I love it.
Yeah. New genre.
Blake Buck has games he calls podcast games. These are games that I play while listening to podcasts. Because, like, you can't play some games while listening to podcasts. Like, you know, games are trying to talk to you all the time. We got to read a bunch of stuff on. So, good podcast games are Drive, Shoot. Now, only a certain kind of shoot, though. Can't be a lot of talking shoots. Got to be real quiet shoot. So and Drive. Basically those two. All right. Well, now it's time for the jank. I ain't a winner. Got a hot hand.
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. So we have many janks this week, I see here.
We do have. We've got a cornucopia of janks. We have four separate janks. So the first one we've got is from a user named Fat Daddy Mushroom. I like it. He says, hey guys, I just wanted to tell you that you can buy Serious Sam the Second Encounter used for $2.90 or new for $8.99 on Amazon.com for the PC. And you can also get Serious Sam 1 for about $9 new or $14 $9 used and $14 new on the PC from Amazon.com. And my last jank is Ninja Gaiden on the NES for $8 used and $30 new on Amazon.com.
Wait, how do you get a new game for the NES on Amazon.com?
Amazon.com. You forget, William Miller. Amazon.com is a good place to find video games because they have that Amazon Marketplace. Do you know anything about Amazon Marketplace, William Miller?
No.
Well, basically, it's sort of like eBay. It's where they get sellers who like sell a lot of one particular type of thing, and you do all the money transactions through Amazon, and then Amazon transfers the money to those people. So basically, like some you know hot games cheap for here dot you know net can go to Amazon and say we want to sell our games through Amazon.
Oh wait, so is that like when I buy my code books and I want the cheap one?
Yeah, it's like when you go on Amazon, it says get new and used from like half of whatever it says up above that. That's Amazon Marketplace. So it's a good place to find games. Easily comparable or better than eBay for finding old games. So definitely check out Amazon Marketplace if you're looking for good games.
All right, we got another jank from Ben Buck Double B. Now, Blake Buck got a text message from Ben Buck Double B about 10 minutes before we started the show, which would be, I guess, 2 hours ago. And the message is as follows: Dreamfall, Target, $8, blam jank.
Ben Buck is a man of few words.
See, Ben, you think, oh, he's just leaving out articles because it's a text message. No, that's how Ben Buck talks. Dreamfall, Target, $8, blam jank.
I like how there's no punctuation in this message at all, but he's managed to capitalize every single word.
Oh, it's good stuff. I got jank for you guys this week. Now, this is a little more high-end jank. This is a little pricier jank than usual.
Premium jank.
If you're in the market for this thing, it's good. So you can get two wireless Xbox 360 controllers from Sam's Club, you know, a big boy Walmart. For $75, and since I think they're either fifty or sixty. I think they're 50. So that's like buy one get one half off. And you know that Xbox 360 controllers never get any cheaper. So if you're looking to get that third and fourth controller, and you know you've been putting it off, this is a good place to go.
Now I have a little anecdote about Sam's Club. So when Blake Buck and I were living in the apartment, we were under 21. You have to be 21 to shop at Sam's Club. We were under 21 at the time. And so we just got Ben Buck's Sam's Club card, and Ben Buck's face looks just like Blake Buck's face, except fatter.
No. Don't say that. My face is far more beautiful than his. However, it's very poorly rendered on that Sam's Club card, and so it sort of looks like me. You got to get it right, son.
Oh, okay.
Vic, go.
So I also have a jank this week, and I wanted to preamble by saying that you guys remember our jank of the week wherein you pre-order Halo 3 from Best Buy and you get 1600 points for $5. Remember that one back in the day?
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Kotaku is just now reporting on it. Blam. Point for us,
dude. Maybe Kotaku needs to start listening to our site if they want hot gaming tips.
So my jank of the week, though, is I just got that for free.
Whoa. How did you do that, just Vic?
All right. So I don't want to toot my horn here because they're going to come after me. But Best Buy, Justin Fick ordered Halo 3 Special Edition plus 1,600 points on Best Buy. Now, shortly after this happened, Wells Fargo decided they're going to take all the money out of my Wells Fargo account. They liquidated. So just a fixed Wells Fargo account, $0. So I get a nasty email from Best Buy saying that, hey, we didn't get your monies, so you don't get no codes. So I'm like, so I figured that was the end of it until just earlier this week, actually. Justin Fick at Freeverse Software gets a box from Best Buy with 1,600 gamer points in within.
Oh man!
And Justin Fick didn't ask questions. Justin Fick redeemed that holy right there, and is gonna enjoy Castlevania with it.
Now, when you get a box full of gamer score points, is that like a box full of doubloons with Bill Gates' head on it or something?
It's Pirate Day blooms.
If that's what happened, I would buy those every day.
So wait, now let's go back. Just how exactly did your account get liquidated? That doesn't sound good. I'm no mathematics expert.
All right, well, what happened was Justin Fix got some connections on his bank account.
Uh-oh.
And the connections ran out of codes. So when Wells Fargo went to get codes from the connections, they figured they could take the codes out of Justin Fick's account.
Dude, like, I thought I was going to ask this and it was going to be a simple explanation. No, it's like some sort of illegal drug racket you were involved in. No more money questions for Justin Fick.
Justin Fick has since been reimbursed for said codes. So all Wells Fargo monies are now in Washington Mutual Code Bank.
That's good.
In their bag of holding. They got enough slots for your codes.
So my question is, in the future, will Justin Fick also get that Halo 3 special edition in the mail and not have paid for it?
Only time will tell.
That's true. Hang on a sec. Hang on. Yo, man.
On the PlayStation, what's the factory set code for a DVD? Like XXX or triangle?
Oh, it's triangle. Oh, wait, no, that's not. I don't know what you're trying to do.
Well, I just like watch a DVD.
You should just be able to put it in. If it doesn't play, your disc is burned bad or something. Anyway, I gotta do this podcast.
Oh, you're doing that?
Yes,
oh,
sir. Dude, did you hear that?
I heard snippets.
My roommate comes in here, and he's like, Blake, you know the code to make DVDs work in a PlayStation?
What, do you have like a parental lock on their...
Yes. Look, I'll fix it later. Look, I'll be out here in 2 hours, and you can watch your DVD then. It's time for a double discussion.
All right, so we got... Hang on just a second. I'll be right back. Somebody's knocking.
Dude, it's 9:47. It's party time.
What the hell's that noise?
Chef being drunk.
Kendrick. What are you beating? Are you done with that? Because I'm recording a show and... Can't wait.
No, dude, those are the sweaty nerds knocking on his door. William.
Do you have my calculator?
I've come to get my dungeon dice back.
All right, I'm back.
I'm sorry, William. We were just ragging on your sweaty nerds knocking on the door.
I bet. No, Kendrick decided it was a good time to hammer nails into picture frames.
Ah. Thought he came back wanting his D20.
Well, that too.
We be able to go.
All right, so we got two big pieces of heat for discussion. The first is a reflection on our 50 show anniversary. That's right. We've been blasting on the internet for 50 shows.
That's a lot of to blast.
And the second is a discussion on game journalism, but we'll get to that in a minute. So, Blake Buck, what is your all-time favorite podcasting moment?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. There are so many times. Perhaps one of my... I guess my favorite moment is when we announced we would be ending the Inside Mac Games podcast. It's starting the best damn podcast ever. But other favorite moments include, let me think, I guess the Ahmed Wukong phone call. Ahmed Wukong phone call. Tunsir Deniz saying, if we're going to do it, we might as well not do it at all. I don't know.
It was, if you're going to do it, don't do it all.
See, what's funny about that is that this is exactly what we did. We left IMG, and then we're doing it all over here.
You guys are getting the shitty version of Inside Mac Games.
And we're doing all right, baby.
Justin Fick, what are some of your favorite moments from Inside Mac Games /BDPE?
Some of my favorite moments were actually the Macworld podcast.
No, that was good stuff.
And the shenanigans therein.
You remember he paid us to do that?
Oh yeah.
That was that's
what a f***ing mistake that was.
That was one of two times we were ever paid by Tunsir Deniz. Let me tell you, they were not big checks.
No.
Now, I would also say that that during our live show, Battle, at the height of its notoriety, was a force to be reckoned with.
That's true.
That was pretty good.
Look, we're going to bring Battle back. As soon as our listeners get creative and not dumb, we will bring it back. And I'll be able to tell. I can tell.
There are two things that happen. There are two things that need to happen for us to have a live show again. One of those is that all three of us need to be in the same place, because doing a live show over Skype is a disaster. And the second thing is, yeah, like you said, our listeners have got to get smarter, and we'll know when that happens.
Look, we read the emails every week, guys. That's coming up in the feedback section, okay?
Now, I got to say an addendum that I think any time all three of us are in the same place, it's instant classic shenanigans.
This is true.
Now, I'm also talking about IGDA New York Guitar Hero Party.
Which Blake Buck will be releasing soon.
One day, that footage is going to get together soon. I've been looking over it. I'm not really sure what to do with it yet, but I've been going over it. It's captured. It's in the machine, so it's coming along.
To William Miller, what are your favorite moments from podcast?
All right. Well, I think my favorite moment ever. See, there was a period of time when, like, we were getting real tired of the IMG podcast. You know, tired of Tunker and the whole situation over there. And we weren't really sure what to do. We were, should we just stop podcasting or should we start a new podcast? And we were sort of, you know, the seeds of the best damn podcast ever were planted. But I remember, Blake Buck, do you remember the exact, like, place where we were when we decided? I remember saying, Blake Buck, we need to call this podcast the best damn podcast ever. And Blake Buck was hesitant about it, but then it clicked. And we registered the domain immediately. And that's how it was born.
I remember, bestdamnpodcastever.com, but not BDPE.com.
No.
Some dude in Sweden has that, and he's not budging for less than $2,000. So if you'd like to donate, it's donated, bestdamnpodcastever.com.
Or sip in the suite if you want to go take this guy out for us.
Yeah. We do pay contract killers well.
We will give you half his asking price, which is $1,000. There, I said it. I actually put out a hit on a dude on a podcast for $1,000.
All right, excellent. So how has the show changed since the beginning?
Well, I think we're much better showmen, I think.
Oh, really, William Miller? Better showmen, you say?
Better showmen. We've had our practice on the microphone, and our quality, the production quality, has certainly got better, especially in recent episodes, thanks to Tom Barbalay. But also, you know, I think we've sort of hit our stride as far as, like, where we fit in the game journalism spectrum, which we're going to get into a little bit later. Like, we're not a first-party source of news. In fact, we get our news wrong pretty much 90% of the time. But we are a source of opinion, and I think, you know, opinion from not only gamers, because, you know, we're gamers, except me, I don't play games, but from not only game enthusiasts, but game developers and people that are actually, you know, contributing actively to the games industry in a big way. So I think that's unique to our show.
I think that this show has had so many changes, particularly in format. I think it's about every five episodes we think of some new genius idea of how to make the show run smoother. And we've just been adding to it ever since. We don't read off GameSpot no more is basically what I'm getting at.
Now, I think one way our show has changed, I think several ways, and I don't think a reflection of the IMG podcast / best damn podcast ever is complete without a discussion on our many memes and catchphrases. Now, in the beginning, we didn't really have, like, we didn't really use any. We didn't really have, we didn't make any up. I forget what our first goofy catchphrase was.
Oh, man, it was hide that power. The catchphrases, I thought about this, the catchphrases started at Macworld when the three of us finally saw each other face to face. Now, Blake Buck and I, you know, we interacted quite a bit because we went to high school together. We had never seen Justin Fick before. And when the three of us combined, we touched our rings together, that's when it all happened.
See, because I was thinking, were there any active catchphrases pre-Mac? Because Macworld was where it exploded. Like we all came back from Macworld with about 10 new stupid catchphrases, and all of them lasted for at least 30 episodes, and some of them are still going strong.
When did heat come around? I don't even know.
I remember where heat came from because you know where it was is it was after we had talked to David Helgeson and got him to give us. To give us a license to make a game in Unity.
Oh yeah, I remember that panned out well.
Oh yeah, it sure certainly did. So we were thinking about what kind of game to make with Unity, and I forget who it was. I think this was Miller's catchphrase that we need a gun called the Heat. That's where the catchphrase came from.
The Heat. Don't shoot me with the Heat. Oh God.
Look, lava, that's the lava cannon. Lava comes out the heat.
Lava gun. And of course, actually, recently, I've noticed that we haven't been using a whole lot of catchphrases recently. Like we introduced a whole lot of new ones with our game elements show, like shoot and cut, which I'm sure are going to recur many times. But for the most part, we've cut down. I've noticed a sharp decrease in catchphrase output, and definitely no mention of our most obscure and most absurd catchphrase, which is simply D.
Now, see, the thing is, though, like in our written correspondences and in our wiki, like the catchphrases crop up everywhere, but in the show proper. they've sort of tapered off just a little bit. I don't know whether that's good or bad, but
and I gotta say that every time William Miller IMs me, the first line is D D D D D.
Oh yeah.
And then after that, optionally, what's up?
Right.
Or what are you even doing? Go.
What are you even doing? All right, so guys, I've got a special treat for you. We're gonna play here some classic episodes of the best damn podcast ever. And you guys can listen to these, and you can see just how far we've come. So first, we're gonna play Inside Mac Games Podcast, Episode 1. Are you guys ready for this?
Let's do it.
Oh, God.
Welcome to the Inside Mac Games Podcast. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is Justin Ficarotta, author of Kill Monty, and William Miller, who is an artist for Freeverse. What's going on, guys?
Artist for Freeverse?
Not a whole lot, dude.
Look, all right, Mac Gaming News, contracted October artist 14, for 2005.
Ridiculous.
All right, lots of news this week, guys, hey?
Probably the biggest thing this week was the Apple press
event. Lots of news,
we had a big,
huh?
Apple press event on Wednesday. They unveiled, video iPod, a new iMac with remote, and the iTunes Music Store 6.
Trying to skip forward a little.
Or I guess just iTunes 6. So anyway, this guy who got convicted last month has received the maximum penalty, booyah, of lethal injection. So I guess he's going to go on death row and...
Hold on, one second. Did you say booyah?
I did say booyah.
It's not the fact that Blake is endorsing the death penalty.
Oh, no,
it's
I'm not endorsing the death penalty.
I have no problem with that. Just the word booyah, yeah.
I'm not taking a stance on the death
it's
penalty.
It's so awkward and uncomfortable. I love it.
Yeah, see, Justin Fick, you were invading in on my turf. Like, Blake Buck has one friend, and one friend only, and that is William Miller. All right, now I'm immediately hostile to any other friend Blake Buck makes. That's just how it works.
Dude, it's time for a trifecta now.
For some reason, I remember that episode 3 was particularly ridiculous, so I've also loaded up episode 3. So let's take a listen to this.
Welcome to the Inside Mac Games podcast. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Miller, an artist for Freeverse.
What's up? God damn it.
Don't interrupt me. What the hell's wrong with you? An artist for Freeverse Software. And hey, Justin Ficarata.
I'm going to interrupt you again, Blake Buck.
Uh-huh. And Justin Ficarata of Kill Monty fame.
Listen to that lag.
How's it going, Blake? Play Marathon yet?
No, I sure hadn't played Marathon. And I'm not going to now that you're making a big deal out of it.
We got to save this because later in the show... Well, we're going to fire off some titles at Blake to see if he's played them.
All right, so our last clip we're going to play for you is from an ancient show that no one has even heard, never even released show. This was before there was even an Inside Mac Games podcast, an unreleased show that was simply called, are you ready for this? The Mac Dudes.
Dude, I have not heard Mac Dudes even.
Dude, just get ready.
Hey there, I'm Blake Buck.
And I'm William Miller.
And we're the Mac Dudes, September 4th, 2005. So, how's your day been going, William?
How's your day?
Savannah. So, I'm back in school now, and that's good.
Learning, huh?
Yeah,
education.
That's right.
Good job there, buddy.
Yeah. Right. I know you eat cookies all the time and don't go to school with it. So, all right, let's move on to news.
We're done with that section.
Tech news. Chipmaker Lipita outlines plans for a new DDR3 RAM chip. This chip will be a 512-bit chip, which is good, I guess.
Dude, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Listen to me.
Rates of 1.3 gigabits. That's about twice as fast as DDR2. The chip will run also at a lower voltage, 1.5 volts.
I can't listen anymore.
Oh, wow. Dude, you know what needs to happen, Blake Buck? Is that this entire show needs to be put into the feed somehow.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Maybe if you guys are lucky, I'll stick some of this ancient heat up in the feed.
Oh, please don't.
Oh, God, that's awful. Oh, it's terrible.
No, don't do that, because people are going to think that people are going to listen to that for the first time they've ever heard us ever, and they're going to shoot themselves.
Hey, William, how's your day going? You doing any cool stuff? I read Harry Potter.
Oh, man.
Oh, Lord. Dude. All right, well, enough of that. Enough reminiscing. Best damn podcast ever. I think an excellent show. Continuing to progress on into the future. So keep listening and vote for us at Podcast Alley, bestdamnpodcastever.com. All right, what's our second discussion, William Miller?
All right, our second discussion is a game journalism battle royale. Now, we touched on this subject a little bit last podcast, and Blake Buck is furious with Brian Crescente and Kotaku. Now, you know, I don't know where this aggression comes from, but but he's got some more ammunition, some more heat to say about these guys, and you know, I got a little piece myself, and I'm sure Justin Fick has his two cents to throw in. So Blake Buck, take it away.
Look, you just tell me when to go, and I'll lay into these fat man.
Go D.
All right, so I read an article on Kotaku the other day that was talking about Ninja Gaiden Sigma, which is the new Ninja Gaiden game coming out on the PlayStation 3. So first, I'm going to read you this article like a professional gaming website would write it, okay? And then I'm going to read you how Kotaku writes the same article. Okay, so here's a professional gaming website with journalistic integrity and not bullshit. Here we go. The headline, Ninja Gaiden Sigma clarified as re-release. Today, Team Ninja revealed that the highly anticipated Ninja Gaiden Sigma for PS3 will be re-released on the... would be a re-release of the classic Xbox beat-em-up Ninja Gaiden Black, but with several new features, and these are in bullet points. Three new chapters, reworked high-res textures and models, new enemies and animation, constant 60 frames per second, new playable character Rachel. The game was announced several months ago. Until today, it was unclear whether the game was entirely new or a port of the Xbox version. Ninja Gaiden Sigma will mark the second re-release of the original game, as well as multiple content downloads over Xbox Live. Now let's examine what that article did. It gave us the headline quickly, it told us the meat of the article quickly, and then it gave us a little backstory as to this game and its history in the gaming industry. All very succinct, all very clear, all very simple, just wonderful, wonderful writing. And I will admit, I wrote that myself. And now, for the Kotaku version. And this was taken from Kotaku's website. I am not changing any details at all. I read this to you verbatim. Same article, just written a little differently. Kotaku. Ninja Gaiden Sigma, just a port? Tecmo... I don't even think this is proper English, so bear with me. Tecmo are upset that you think the upcoming Ninja Gaiden Sigma on the PS3 is just a port? Like... Inconsolable. It's not just a port, their PI guy sobbed behind a veil of tears. That's not fair. I bought him an ice cream, which stopped the tears, but that didn't shut him up. In their defense, they're citing 3 new chapters and all new textures, models, enemies and animations, 60 frames per second, and the ability to load the entire game onto your hard disk drive to get the loading faster. Oh, and Rachel. And this was as, like, quoted from their press release. However, most of the new changes were from the freshly playable character Rachel, who will have a completely separate catalog of attacks and animations, new story missions, new mission mode levels, as well as the jiggly body parts only Team Ninja can provide. Then this is back to Kotaku. Bullet point number 1 on the pre-order poster. Jiggly bits. Great addition, one and all, but it's still just a port. A tarted up port, yeah, but a port it remains. Luke Plunkett. Now let's examine what the fuck was wrong with that article. Number 1... I'm sorry. Number 1, what is all this banter about buying him ice cream? Why are you trying to joke so much, son? Can't you just write the article like you're supposed to? Why you got to make these little jokes about their PR guy crying with tears? I don't need that. You're not a comedian cuz I'm not laughing, face. Next, we talk about the jiggly bits. Oh, hilarious. These in video games? Impossible. This is truly a comedy goldmine. Why don't you go write for Dane Cook or Chris Rock, okay? Because that's clearly where your talents lie, not in journalism. I'm done with it. It drives me crazy.
Now, I think what's happening here is that... You know, Kotaku starts off as a blog, and it gets a readership, and it gets big, and they end up getting big heads, and they're still in the stigma of we're just gonna rip off other news stories, reword them a little bit, make them sound sort of funny, and then post them. But they're at the point now where they have a readership, and they have an obligation to that readership.
Yeah, you're not some little joke website anymore. If you're gonna try and be a professional, I mean, like here earlier about the Xbox 360 thing that was quoted in GameSpot from Kotaku. I mean, if you're a professional game site now, you got to act the part, son. You can't be all willy nilly and you're talking about Ninja Gaiden, trying to make jokes and put stupid bullshit in here. Come on, son.
and I think the other problem to me lies in that a lot of these blogs now, like Kotaku and Joystick, are starting to throw themselves around as like these huge journalistic giants. Like the whole thing that happened with Sony last episode, you know, Kotaku basically spilled beans on something about Sony that they weren't supposed to, and Sony said, "Fuck you guys." And then Kotaku, of course, gets online, and then they spout all kinds of bullshit about free speech and this and this and this, and it's just, dude, shut up! You're a f-ing blog. You got f-ed over. Deal with it. I mean, dude, like if BDPE got thrown out of a Sony press conference, we would have a video of it online, and we would be reveling in the fact that we got thrown out. Like we wouldn't be clamoring to our listener base for, you know.
We wouldn't be screeching for the blogosphere, that's for sure.
Yeah. So I think what's happening is that a lot of these sites are losing sight of what they really are and getting, I don't know, delusions of grandeur.
Yeah, it's sort of like you start small, you get big, you don't really like realize that a larger responsibility and professionalism comes with that larger listener base, and you have these kids running around thinking they're, you know, God's gift to game journalism. All right, so my second piece of ammunition against Kotaku is their publishing of what I call non-articles. These are articles that don't really mean anything, but it's sort of like, well, we got to put stupid jokes and stuff in the headlines anyway. So they run articles that have low content and are really just silly stuff. So here's an article from Kotaku I'll read to you right now. The article is called Army of Two Dialogue, Rubbish. Army of Two is looking good. Pity it's not sounding so good. And guys, I don't know how to say that guy's name. And Guy Corral over at Newsweek had a long-standing issue with awful dialogue offered up thus far by EA, and it's now venting. The problem isn't that this is quoted from the article. The problem isn't that Army of Two seems to have taken a more humorous turn than it was originally anticipated. The problem is that it's not especially funny. It's juvenile and generically so, as if cynically cobbled together from a collective unconscious of a focus group of 12-year-old boys. Now back to the Kotaku article. I couldn't agree more. I think you really hurt that truck. If it's not fixed by the time the game hits the shelves, it could very well kill it. I'd rather set myself on fire than listen to inane dialogue over the course of a game. EA, just get some writer, or better writers. You can spare the extra cash. Luke Plunkett. What the f*** was it? What did I just read? Could someone... William Miller, can you explain this to me?
Well, I think it's sort of... We've got sort of a discrepancy here, Blake Buck, a dichotomy, if you will. We as the best damn podcast ever, kind of do the exact same thing that you yourself are wailing against. But now, before you say anything, we have no... we never once said that we are Reliable News Source 2000, all right? And if people had held us up to be Reliable News Source 2000, we would rise to the challenge and change the way we present our information. But we are a humorous show that centers on game-related issues. Now, I think that, you know, Kotaku's not that bad. It just suffers from the same things that a lot of blogs suffer from, and that is that... Like you said, they have very small listenership, and they were mainly geared towards humor. And then all of a sudden, they're a major player in the games news industry, and don't really know how to deal with it yet. And I think it's, you know, a natural thing, but they'll get it together.
I don't have so much faith. I don't have so much faith.
All right, so in light of this dichotomy, as William Miller put it, we see that Kotaku has fallen into a pitfall, you know, pretty much caused by themselves getting big heads over what they are and what their role is in game journalism. So I'm putting a proclamation out to the best damn podcast ever that that we remain as a unreliable news source, and that we make no bullshit about being an unreliable news source. Like, there should be some sort of, like, vow of journalistic integrity or something that we can vow not to take.
We're like that loose cannon on the force that he's just one step away from having his badge yanked by the cheek. But look, but we work on the fringe, baby. We take the law in our own hands sometimes. That's who we are.
So if someone like, you know, someone does want to put us up and say, hey, now you're a reliable news source. And I would say, instead of, as you put it, Mr. Miller, rising up to the challenge, I say we look that person square in the eyes and say, heat D battle go, motherfucker, Death Star in the face, and we continue on as normal.
I say, if anyone ever calls us a legitimate news site, we put an image of Goetze up on the site all day.
No, we just find out whatever website they come from and just spam it with face.jpg.
That's almost as bad.
Yeah, just look at my face. Come on. Journalistic integrity, man. Come on.
There are two things I want to talk about. And the first is, sort of a different, well, a reason. I'm going to provide maybe a reason for why we have blog sites like Kotaku out there making jokes in their articles and you know, generally things up. So in the 70s, there was this guy named Tom Wolfe. And this guy published a bunch of articles by a lot of people who he considered to be forerunners in journalism. People like Hunter S. Thompson or Capote. Now, these guys did something different from everybody else, and that thing was they used I in their articles. You know, they used their personalities, and they weren't as objective as most journalists were, and as a result, produced some really incredible stuff. Now, this so-called new journalism was hailed as the next big thing in journalistic writing and all of that stuff, and that was a good thing. But I think people like the writers at Kotaku have really taken that too far. You know, they've taken this idea that we put ourselves into what we write and we don't have to be 100% objective to get the point across. They've taken it and just bastardized it. And I think we need to, rein that back in a little bit and we'll be all right again.
It does. So what you're saying, in other words, is that Kotaku and blogs like it are enjoying the benefits of being a subjective news source and also trying to also take the benefits in of being an objective news source.
Yes, exactly. Also, another thing that really bothers me, and I've heard this echoed many, many times in criticism of the games journalism many, many times over, is that games as an art form are like treated like crap. I mean, think about music for a second, or movies, same deal. They have, an album is released, right? And people talk about that album for a long, long time, right? They analyze it. They go over and over and over it to get every angle of it to assimilate it, right? So the life cycle of a game is much different. What we have is we have a bunch of early reviews of the game, right? That's the first thing. And then we have a bunch of early playtests of the game. And then it all of a sudden climaxes in the game's release. And then we don't hear anything about it ever again. We don't go back over it. We don't review it. We don't contemplate it like it's art, right? And we're never going to have true journalism in the games industry until that happens, until we can have entire shows that talk about classic games as they are art and how they are important to games in the future,
Now, careful with games as art. There's actually a whole big, huge discussion that I can get into that actually we should probably put off till a later show, later discussion.
I'm not saying all games are art. That's absolutely not true. Not all games are art. But in order for the ones that are to be art, we have to have a vocabulary and a method for describing them, for critiquing them, and then for analyzing them. And I think that vocabulary and that method is very defined in other artistic areas like music, because not all music is art. I'll be frank. I don't consider all music art. I don't consider all painting art. So, but there is some that is, and we have a very systematic approach for describing that art and for experiencing that art. And we just don't have that yet because, games are very young, and that will change over time.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is that game journalism has enjoyed much more the information age, if you will, side of journalism, which is the whole web 2.0, blogs, YouTube, that kind of thing. So you're getting a lot of people where it's really just some sweaty nerd with a video camera or a microphone or a keyboard, posting whatever, doesn't know a goddamn thing about journalistic integrity, and suddenly finds himself with all this traffic and looks at himself as suddenly this reliable news source. So it's really not the same venues either. Like they're not going through newspapers, they're not going through magazines. It's just some sweaty nerd on a computer. So the barrier for entry is equally low as there is no proper syntax or semantic for doing so.
All right. Well, do we have anything else? What is going to cure the game blogging industry?
Well, the only thing that's going to cure game, well, there are a lot of things that play games. There's games games not being held to the same standards as film in the marketplace, for instance. There's game journalism and journalistic integrity is another example. All of these things will be cured by time. Like the games industry, I heard it heard it put best. I don't remember who said this, but someone said that the games industry is like the film industry in the 30s. And that's exactly right. Nobody knew what to do with it. Nobody knew what it was. And it was crazy. But after it sort of gained respect, and the people that grew up with film started, you know, when film was created when they were young, and then they become adults and it's a part of their lives, just like it is for us, you know, it became a non-issue. You know, whether or not them moving pictures on the screen are devil became a non-issue because people that grew up with them, you know, they knew already.
That's a big issue to the game industry, whether them moving pictures be devils. It's an interesting angle.
Yeah, we're still in the middle of that battle.
Yeah, I mean, like take God of War. They have in God of War, right?
That's true. It's just like the 30s, like in the 30s.
Yeah. So you can have a movie in Walmart that's got in it, and that's not a big deal. But the game in Walmart that's got in it is a big deal, and here's why. It's because it's the thought of the people that own Walmart or the public at large that games are for kids only. And the fact that you have a in something that's for kids is outrageous, so you shouldn't sell it. Now, we, you know, like our generation, the people that are going to take over that role in 20 years or so are not going to feel that way, so it's not going to be a problem.
Hmm.
So another solution, far less elegant but far more direct, is sipping the Swede. Once you're done with the BDPE, dude, Brian Crescenti.
You can find him.
You can pick him out at Kotaku headquarters very easily. He's the ugly one.
He's the beast.
We'll also put out a hit on Luke Plunkett as well, just to round it out there. That's three hits in one day. Just a fake. I think all those hits are going to drain our coffers at the Best Damn Podcast Ever. We might need to revoke.
Donations at bestdamnpodcastever.com.
Speaking of sipping the Swede, it's time for the contest. All right, guys, so we got no new submissions for the Erotic Nintendo Fanfiction Contest, so guess what? That means Sippin' the Swede is the winner. Congratulations, sir. Well, not to negate the other listeners, we did have some very strong entries, but no one else went through all the effort of recording their entry and emailing it to us, so by all means, hats off, Mr. Swede.
So what does Sippin' get?
What does Sippin' get? Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. What does Sippin' get? Well, Mr. Swede, you get a IOU, Best Damn Podcast Ever t-shirt, coming soon. So we're going to have those on the site soon. So as soon as we get those in and get them ordered, and we'll ship one off to you. So just email us your size. Also, guys, we haven't quite ordered the shirts yet. So if you just want to, we're just trying to get a range of our listeners here. Just email us your shirt size if you think you would buy one.
No, Blake Bug, it's big. It's XXL. You know it. I know it. The American people know it.
Are you double X or triple X?
Now here's what I'm thinking that we can make this we can make this special for Mr. Sippin' the Swede. Sippin' the Swede should get the prototype. She get the first BDPE shirt.
I think so, but
like before we do.
Yeah.
We'll get a range of shirts, right? But just so I know how many to order from who and what, you know, if you like the show, just email us, feedback at Best Damn Podcast Ever. You don't have to write anything else. Just put MLXXL. You don't have to say anything else. Just so we kind of get a range of the size of our listeners.
We'll put a poll up on the forum. That's what we'll do.
Yeah, we'll put one up on the forum, too. So, and Sippin' the Swede, you've got a shirt in the mail in the near future. Also, no new developments on Hot Date, guys, but we do have a little note here from Mr. Barbalay. We may read this as Secret Heat.
Secret Heat.
All right, so Mr. Barbalay's been pimping the Best Damn Podcast Ever out on other podcasts that he goes on frequently. So he says, some behind-the-scenes news. I had used the Justin Fick Hot Date contest as an attempt to cross-promote the show on other podcasts. Few podcasters believe Justin Fick was real.
Few people do.
The most polite comment I received from Rob from Podcast 411, who said, and I'm paraphrasing, "What kind of person can't find a date in New York City?"
Damn!
Oh, that's harsh. That's harsh.
Now, look, I have a response to this. You know, no, I'm holding back. I'm going to hold you back, Justin Fick. Look, Justin Fick is too hot for New York. All right? They just can't handle him.
Well, Justin Fick, keep in mind, is currently on a hot date in Tree City.
Oh, a hot date. Now, you're going to look, all Justin Fick date activity now has to be monitored heavily, Justin Fick, so we can know what's going on.
Dude, this hot date, Tree City, Xbox Tree City. That's what I'm talking about. There is no hot date out of Freeverse software for Justin Fick. So listeners need to bail me out of this jailhouse.
It's not his fault though. I mean, they keep him locked in basement all day,
and they whip him for code.
They whip him for codes. And
so yeah, if you have any, by the way, for those of you totally lost, we're having a contest for getting Justin Fick a hot date in New York City. So if you have any leads, you can email either feedback at Best Damn Podcast Ever or call Justin Fick's direct love line at fick@bestdamnpodcastever.com. And if you get Justin Fick a hot date, you're going to win $50 and either Cafe Press, or if we have some merchandise here coming soon, some of our delicious merchandise. So send in those entries. Now it's time for feedback.
All right, we got a couple emails today. The first is from, oh my God, Tagon. It says, hey guys, I've been meaning to give you guys feedback for some time, and just haven't gotten around to it. The fact that you guys get no emails is unbelievable. Now, we get emails. I don't know what you're talking about. Blake Bug, you've been lying. I've been following you guys since day one at theinsidemacgames.com. Thank you very much for your listenership. And I've never stopped. One thing that has never stopped to amaze me is Blake Buck's inability to read.
Now, something occurred to me the other day. I was thinking to myself about Blake Buck reading and not being able to do it right. And it occurred to me, Blake Buck may have a learning disability. So I'm thinking this week, I may go get checked at the Brain Institute to see if I have a learning disability, because I may. I do have trouble reading sometimes. I've actually not read a book in about 6 or 7 years. It's true. Because I hate reading. And apparently that's not normal. So I may get myself checked out.
Blake Buck, you're going to bring a video camera to this.
Oh, I will.
He's not kidding either. Oh, God, that's awesome.
So I'll let you know how it goes. Blake Buck finds his brain.
So he goes on to say, anyways, I hope for the best for you guys, and hopefully one day Blake Buck will be able to read. How can you forget the date when Tom Barbalay gives you a note before the show to remind you? Never mind the other 20 times you forgot. Don't worry, no beef.
Oh, good.
Cheers, Tagon M, Calgary, Alberta. P.S. I think I found one of you guys on Facebook. Hopefully I'm right. Otherwise, it'll look like I'm a complete idiot. P.P.S. I have no idea what goddamn cereal you guys keep mentioning in episode 15. Has anybody gotten a friend invite from this fellow here? I certainly have not.
I haven't been on Facebook in like 3 months.
Dude, you can find me on Facebook. I'm Blake Buck, all caps. You can put a space in if you want.
I'm on it, but I check it like 3 times a year.
Yeah, we're all on Facebook. Blake Buck, do you still have face.jpg as your Facebook face?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, and my girlfriend keeps telling me, Blake, take that horrendous photo of you off as your profile picture. No. Face.jpg will stay till the end of time.
That's right.
You can find me on MySpace, too. Blake. Wait a minute. Not my MySpace.com/BlakeBuck. All right, so we got another email from Tom. This is not Tom B. This is just another Tom. He says, I give you Cap'n Crunch, and he gives us a link here. I guess this he's people were trying to fit. We got a bunch of emails about what this cereal is, Justin Fick. He says, also, I email asking why I was banned from the forums after 3 innocent posts, one of which was a compliment. No answer. Please tell me why. We're having problems with our forums. We're getting lots and lots of spam. Battlecat is flooded daily with spam on the forums.
All authorizations for names or for accounts now come through me. So I have the ban hammer in close proximity at all times. As to why you were banned after 3 instant posts, I don't know. If that was you posting I love 3 times, that was probably why you got banned there. Not innocent. Sorry.
He speaks his mind, okay?
He loves it. He loves that.
Now, unless he was the one that taught us that the Spanish word for is that was informative.
So were those pills. I bought those.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I can gain 15 optical inches.
Optical inches.
That's a lot of optical inches.
That's not real inches.
You gotta wear spectacles.
They send you some. They send you some beer goggles in the mail or something.
I get weird. No, I'm sorry. Should not have brought that up on the show. El Spuddy says, "Hi, Mr. Fig. I think the cereal you're looking for is Otabix, but I calls be wrong. I think mean could be wrong. I also remember a cereal ad, but due to listening, I think he must have been drunk writing this email. But due to listening to episode 16, get this read out. I'm on the air. I'm not going to." El Spuddy, you can't be emailing us when you're drunk. All right, you just can't do it. So calm down next time.
He says, "P.S. Blake Buck, Lotus 3. Now, I know what Lotus is. I remember Lotus Works, Lotus 1, 2, 3. I played that game. I did all the spreadsheets. Done. I win."
Dude, you got three Lotuses. It's a ninja fighting game. All right.
Dude, I'm going to take Lucas O here. Lucas O writes, "It is so Crispix. Search on Google for Crispix and stays crispy in milk, and you'll find a million references to it. I can't find a video of the old commercials, but I'm not your servant, so find them yourself." Lucas. Now, Lucas O, first of all, I didn't ask you to find commercials for Crispix because I've told you a million times already it's not f***ing Crispix. Like, I wake up every morning and there's an IM from Lucas saying, "Dude, it's Crispix." I'm telling you. And every time I tell him, "Dude, it's not Crispix." I eat Crispix every f***ing day. I eat it out of the box. In fact, when I duke Crispix. That's how much f***ing Crispix I eat. It is not Crispix.
That's a quote, baby.
Now, I've gotten two emails with the right answer now. The mystery is over. The first email is Alex Payton sent an email to Best Damn Podcast Ever feedback and also to me. Alex Payton got a first. I'm reading his first. "Here's a picture of Ripple Crisp. Is this your cereal?" Yes, it is. Alex Payton, you made my f***ing day. Thank you, sir. Now, Tim M. also writes in to elaborate. He says, "I know what cereal Fick has been talking about for the past few episodes, so he's not crazy. I remember the commercial for it having some crazy guy in a lab coat pouring milk into the bowl and being amazed at how the cereal didn't get soggy. I think it was called either Ripples or Ripple Crisp, something dumb like that. I got a box of it way back in the day to see if it worked, and hot damn, it didn't. That got soggy almost right away, and it tasted like a boot." So Lucas O, you can go Tim M and Alex P's salads respectively, and because you are their so go find me that fucking Crispix commercial,
dude. I'm still recovering from I Duke Crispix.
So that is the official end of the Justin Fick breakfast cereal mystery 2000. Thank you, Alex Payton and Tim M.
All right, well now it's time for the stump. All right, guys, are you ready for the stump this week? Who's ready? Who's got power?
All right, Blake Bug, I got power. Are you ready?
I'm ready, son.
All right, my power this week is Tyrion 2000.
Tyrion 2000? Well, obviously, 2000 is the future. All right? So, Tyrion, this sounds like one of those resource management sims where you got to run kind of like a space colony kind of thing, and it's set in space, and they're... And they're monsters kind of thing. Yeah, am I getting there a little bit?
No, not at all.
No, I'm getting... All right, and then... Then they run out of oxygen, see? And then you gotta go back to the time where the dinosaurs... And the dinosaurs got your oxygen tanks, and you gotta beat them up for your...
All right, Tyrion 2000 is shoot. It was, it was produced by Clips Productions and published by XSIV Games, I believe. And it was a top-down shooter game, space shooter game, for DOS and Windows 95. It came out in 1999, and the game is beautiful. Between levels, you got to upgrade your ship. You could like buy new guns, your front gun, your rear gun, your shield, generator, and you had like these things called sidekicks, which followed behind you and did stuff. It was awesome. It was probably one of the best arcade games to come out for the PC during them couple years.
Hmm.
It was good. If you have DOSBox, you can get it on Abandonware for free.
Nice.
So seriously, like, check it out.
That's illegal?
No, it's Abandonware. It's a no, it ain't.
That's illegal. Just let go.
All right, my stump this week for you guys is called Commando.
Commando.
All right. I got this. Game. I used to play this game all the time. This is when you go to school without any underwear on. Commando. You got your pants, but you don't have any underwear. It's Commando.
You got high score when you got pantsed in the gym and all the kids laughed at you. That didn't happen to you guys?
Yeah, shut up. So Commando was an old NES game that was originally an arcade game, NES by Capcom. It was a Commando, it was pure shoot.
Whoa.
Shoot out the actually. So the amount of shoot in this game was not rivaled for a very long time. It was released in 1985, and it's a vertical scrolling shoot 'em up, and you play as this dude called Super Joe, and just a bit of trivia. This is the same Super Joe that you have to rescue in Bionic Commando.
Oh, well.
Yeah, trivia. So Commando had pretty much none of the. Of any of the iconic Capcom elements. Like, you couldn't even tell it was a Capcom game. And it was distributed by Data East. And pretty much vertical scrolling shooter. You're in some jungle land and you're a blue dude that shot gray dudes. And you shot hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of gray dudes. And you got grenades. And you grenaded gray dudes. And there are gray dudes on bikes. And you had to shoot them. Now, the bosses were the green dudes. Those are badasses. You had green dudes that jump around and green dudes with shields. And you had to grenade the green dudes with shields.
Those are the worst.
Yeah. Gotta watch out for them green dudes. So it was actually tons of fun. It was one of those games that lets you continue from where you were. So you can just keep blasting through, you know, over and over again. And then after every level, you got a cutscene of your dude smoking.
Because it was cool.
Yeah. Classic run, gun, shoot, and smoke.
I love it. All right. Well, my game for you guys. Now, this one you can probably figure out what it is, but it's so good that I just have to say it anyway. All right, this is a game that I don't actually own, but I have held in my hand with desire in my heart. My game for you is called Judge Dredd, Dredd versus Death. This is a real game now. Don't laugh.
As much as I have not played this game, I am suddenly wishing that I have.
Is it shoot or cut?
Dude!
It's got to be shoot.
Judge Dredd. Dredd. That's the subtitle. Dredd versus Death. It's like an aborted trilogy or something. There are going to be other ones.
Well, who do you fight after you fight Death?
Dude, Judge Dredd can fight Death.
You fight Dracula. Haven't you played Castlevania?
Oh, right.
Dracula comes after Death all the time.
All right, well, since you're befuddled and blown away in amazement, Judge Dredd, Dredd versus Death. What? Can't even get through without laughing. It was a first-person shooter on the original Xbox. You could play two-player co-op. It was a fairly generic, kind of low-scoring first-person shooter on the Xbox. Apparently, it was kind of lame. But I saw it in the store the other day, and I just about bought it right then and there when I saw that title. But apparently Death refers to some character in the game, like General Death or something, and not like the devil, because that's what I want.
Oh, lame. Lame.
So, yeah.
Dude, we need Judge Dredd facing off against a floating Grim Reaper with a guitar.
There you go. All right, well, now it's time for the outro. I kind of want to do it fast. Do it classic style. What do you guys think?
Man, we haven't done that in a while.
Dude, take that deep breath and go D.
Do it.
All right, that does it for this week in General Game. What do you guys think about that?
I was waiting for the Mac in there. And you did good.
Yeah, me too.
I skillfully dodged the word Mac. So if you'd like to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com. Or you can call our non-working listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. I swear, it's going to be working by next week. We know, apparently some people called us this week and just said it was dumb or something on there.
Oh, I didn't hear it. You mean on the, I don't know, maybe. Look,
are we still doing podcast? I don't know.
I thought it was cookie time.
I looked on the, I listened to all the ones that were in the queue, and there wasn't any people calling us dumb, although that wouldn't surprise me.
We'd also like to, again, I hate to keep driving this home, but we're higher than we've ever been in the rankings, guys. So if you hadn't voted for us at Podcast Alley, vote for us at Podcast Alley. We're trying to get into the top 10. That would be awesome if we could get in the top 10, maybe even some video payoff.
That would be Blake Buck playing the Marathon Trilogy naked.
That's right. So, again, vote for us at Podcast Alley. There's a link on the site and in the show notes. We'd like to thank our CIA operative, Mr. Tom Barbalay. And we'd also like to thank User Friendly in Madison, Mississippi. If you have Macintosh computer problems in the central Mississippi area, look no further than User Friendly. There you go, Uncle Rick. I plugged your store. Thanks for the free iMac. Also, guys, this is just one last thing we'd like to say before we close out this show. We've been toying around with the idea of doing a mega show. This would be maybe a 2 or even 3 hour show that the three of us would do with some sort of unique twist, maybe some sort of crazy guest, maybe some sort of prank call, maybe we even do a drunk cast, who knows? And maybe selling it over like Lulu.com or, one of those other content providers and, doing it like a premium, maybe $5 or $3 for a show. So what do you guys think? Like a mega show? $3? What do you guys think?
Now we're not changing anything that's already out there for free. You still get your great best damn podcast ever. Nothing's going to change, but we might provide one big show every 2 months or so that you pay a couple bucks for. No subscriptions, nothing like that.
Just toying with the idea. So if you have anything you'd like to say about that, just send us an email at feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com or our listener line 845-BATTLE-9 and let us know what you think. So do we have anything else, guys?
I don't know. I think the only thing I like to add is that Serious Sam 2 is my beat it. That's it. I'm done.
Now is that second encounter?
Yeah, dude. I lost like 5 dudes in the last boss. That was it. I ended game with like 150 spare dudes in my life count.
Dude, that's impossible, baby. I don't believe you.
I had so many dudes up in that.
No, you can't beat it without dying. No. In a classic series, you can't beat it with no. See, you had lives. See, on the PC version, there are no lives. You get quick saves, and that's it.
Oh, quick save. Oh, the rules are different. You should have mentioned that, Blake Buck.
The rules are a little different in the PC version, so I don't know. But still, hats off to you for such a commendable feat.
I was so busy making that game my squealing pig that I didn't even realize that the PC version worked differently.
All right, so from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Just Fick.
And I Duke Crispix.
Dude, get that heat. Plug your hard drive in. Quit being fat.
Dude, I like butter.